What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Lawyer You Know podcast. I'm your host, attorney Peter Tragos, and on this podcast, we break down the trials and cases you care most about so that you can understand how the American criminal and civil justice system works. We try to make sure you understand your rights by answering your questions as, well, a lawyer that you know. So we want to walk you through this process, and we can do it together. Make sure you get in the comments or in the chats to ask the questions that have been burning in your minds. And while this is not legal advice, it's always exciting. So buckle up for another episode of The Lawyer You Know. What's up, everybody? Welcome in after a pretty eventful day. Some repeat testimony, but just some more wild twists and turns in a case that just continues to amaze me at how lawyers act and how people act in this, I guess, small town. It is very different than we do things here. And to me, some of it is bad form. And I'll probably go on a rant later. I'll try not to. I'll try to spare you from the rant. But it really is something that's ironic. This trial feels very ironic to me, and how all these lawyers are treating each other and pointing the finger at Alec Murdoch is kind of ironic to me, and we'll get to that. But I do want to start off and go chronologically and not just jump to Mr. Tinsley, because some of you don't watch the whole trial. Some of you miss parts and you come for kind of these quick recaps and highlights. So I want to make sure we get to that first before we jump into that. So take a second, hit that like button if you haven't already. And I'm also going to, as I do the intro here and talk through the first couple of witnesses before we get to some of the clips, I will put, a lot of you asked for, I guess Emily Baker does this. Or I don't know. She has a counter. Somebody said, I don't know that she does this. I shouldn't say, but, no, everybody's asking, did I get a haircut? What's up with my hair? No, I just got out of the shower, and this is what it looks like when I got out of the shower like an hour ago. This is what it looks like out of the shower. So yeah, if you want to subscribe, that's cool too. Let's hit $199 during this, video, and then maybe we will hit 200,000 on the next one. So if you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button and you'll see yourself tick up on the counter. Okay. So I did want to talk about that FBI forensic guy that went through the car stuff at the end of yesterday and the beginning of today. There were three points that were made at the end of cross after they got it situated, whatever those documents were that he didn't necessarily know about. But there were three really important keys that I think could have been confused to look really bad for Alec Murdoch when the prosecution once again dropped a little hint there, and we're going to let the jury think what they thought when they said that the car was encrypted and a lot of the data on it was encrypted. Now, to me, I thought Alec Murdoch encrypted some of that data. That's just what I thought based on how the questions went. But on cross-examination yesterday and again today, he said, just to be clear, that encryption is done by the manufacturer, right? And you guys didn't even ask GM for help. And he said, usually they weren't helpful in the past, but they didn't even ask them in this case. And it took them over a year to do this work and get this information. Again, not looking good for the investigation as a whole. And then we get to Chris Wilson. And I'm already going to pull the counter here off the screen in just a second, because there's some other stuff I want to go to. So hit that subscribe button. Let's try to get to 199, because I'm gonna have to pull it off. Maybe we'll bring it back later. But he talked about stealing the money on the Mack truck case. He talked about how Murdoch said his partner said it was okay. A lot of things that we already heard. I trusted my best friend. Alex was a big dog at a big firm. I thought he was wealthy, thought he made a lot more money than me. So, you know, that he had money troubles was a total surprise to me. But it was really interesting and important when he got to June 7th and the calls that occurred on June 7th and his description and made it to where he had specific times from his phone, what Alex said, and where Alec was, or at least what his car was doing, which we can compare to that. So this was sent to me. Somebody asked me to send them, Allison on Twitter, asked me to send them our timeline. And she said, hey, let me see if I can jazz it up for you. And here is her jazzed up version of our timeline. And I really just want to highlight a couple parts here in comparing them to Chris Wilson's testimony. And there are tons of timelines and different things you can do. And we'll talk about some of them as well. Somebody sent me a video that said, if he stopped the car at 10:04 or 10:05, and then he called the 911 at 10:06, how could he have gone and taken their pulse and tried to flip them over and touch their phones and all that stuff in like less than a minute? So you can learn a lot from this timeline. Absolutely, you can get a lot from that timeline. But what I want to focus on here for a second is at 9:11, Chris Wilson talked to Alec Murdoch. He seemed totally normal on the phone. And he said, can I call you back? Or sorry, he called him back at 9:20. And he said, I'm about to get to my mom's. Can I call you back later? And if you look at the timeline, 9:11 and 9:20 fit into the box of 9:06 to 9:22 when his car was driving. And we assume it was driving to mom's because we know that that fits in the timeline of Miss Shelley, who we'll talk more about later, said that Alec got to the mom's house. So that was interesting to me. And if we believe the murders occurred somewhere between 8:49 and 9:03, this would have literally been 10, 15 minutes after he brutally murdered his wife and son and somehow cleaned up before he got in the car. But he brutally murders his wife and son and then sounds totally normal at 9:11 and then 9:20 and seems totally normal and laying in the bed holding his mom's hand at 9:22. Then Murdoch texted him later about 9:52, gave him a call. There were some calls back, whatever it may be, 9:52, 9:53, asked about mom. And then he said he was about to get back home. And if we look at the timeline, 9:44 to 10 o'clock, those 16 minutes, he was driving home back to Moselle from his mom's. So again, the timelines and the calls line up. And if you listen to the state, they said this was him, part of him creating his alibi. But again, I mean, he is an absolute sociopath if he did this. Absolute sociopath. Because to be able to, Allie Foley, there she is. Thank you, Allie, for this. If you look at this and the calls to Maggie and the movement of his car and the calls to now Chris Wilson and even Miss Shelley and a lot of what she said lining up with this timeline, but we still have the questions of why'd he lie about being at the kennels, where his lawyers seemingly just kind of like let that one slide and they're saying, ah, he kind of lied, but also about, did he check their pulse? Did he roll over bodies? Did he touch Paul's phone? All of that stuff, I think, is pretty tough. It's pretty tough. And yeah, he could absolutely be a sociopath. So I don't mean this to say, you know, he's not a sociopath. All right, we'll put the counter back up here just for a second. So we continue on with Chris Wilson. He found out about the murders. They cried together. They hugged each other. He got screwed on $192,000. So this is another thing that just is interesting to me. When I hear all these attorneys and the CFO and Chris Wilson talk about how all this money was stolen, how all of this happened, I'm thinking to myself, I've got some good buddies that are lawyers. I've sent some cases out. I've worked on some cases with other lawyers. And if they told me to send $792,000, because this is literally the type of stuff I do, right? So it's very easy for me to put myself in their shoes. If I sent them a fee for $792,000 to some annuity, which is fine, if that's how they say they're going to do it, that's fine. But then if he told me he was going to send the money back, and he only sent me back $600,000. And if his law firm called and asked me, where's the money? Can I tell you what I would do and what I would say? I would say, Alec told me about the issue. He is sending me back the money. He has sent me back $600,000 of the $792,000. So my trust account is still short $192,000 from what Alec owes. The trust accounting and the way that, you notice they're not giving any rules about trust accounting. They're just saying like, oh, your trust account has to be accurate, which is correct. It does have to be accurate. But if you already have signed documents from a lawyer who's barred in your state and you rightfully dispersed the money to him, you've done your duty. If he sends part of it back, you hold that part of it in the trust account, but you have sent his attorney's fees to him. That's like anytime I send attorney's fees out, I have to re-up the money in the account to make sure the trust account shows the attorney's fees that were there. That's not how it works. So I just think it's interesting that, oh, I just put the money back in there. And the law firm just shelved it after Alec repaid the money he accidentally kept that was sent to his brother, or accidentally misused fund by taking a private plane somewhere and put it on a client's account. So that all of this stuff that we're just, that the attorney general at this point is totally on board, totally okay. Oh, you shelved it. You kind of covered it up at the firm. You didn't notice it for 10 plus years. Oh, Chris Wilson, what a guy. You put the money in your own trust account, $192,000. You don't have to do that. I wouldn't have done that. If I gave the fees to the guy that rightfully is owed the fees, I don't need to reimburse my trust account. And this may be getting into the weeds, but I just think that it's, all of this is just flying way too smoothly and easily for an absolute financial debacle that this firm was in, and all the shadiness that could have been caught if just one person would have dug a little deeper. But I think so many people were making so much money off Alec Murdoch and his name and apparently his theatrics at trial that nobody really wanted to kick that gift horse. And there'll be more on that later when I get to my rant. Can we get to 199 so I can take this off the screen? I think I'm going to take it off here soon anyways. It kind of bothers me. So he tells them to come to the conference so they can play golf to try to get him out. Every time they talk about the, so you had him sign this piece of paper because you thought he might kill himself. There's no easy way to have that discussion. There's no way to kind of make yourself look like a good friend when he's like, hey, man, I know things are tough, but like, remember that $192,000? Can you sign this napkin here in case something happens to you? Like you get hit by a car, or you kill yourself. And that's just awkward every time I hear it, which again, bells should be ringing. That's so much of this is about money. And then I give this attorney general so much credit doing things we have seen state attorneys and attorney generals and DAs not do another case. Every time he's about to get into a gray area, he stops and he asks the judge. He does not do it in front of the jury. Even some stuff that seems like the judge has already ruled on. He's like, judge, you sure I can get into this? Which he did here, the side of the road incident, which he didn't end up getting into because the judge sustained as hearsay, not as inadmissible 404B evidence, which I think we're going to hear some of that side of the road testimony, which is literally the most damning and wild and weirdest story, if that's possible, in this entire Alec Murdoch case. So I think it's going to come in later, but it wasn't going to come in through this witness because it would have all been hearsay. And then we get to the admission by Alec Murdoch, drug addict for 20 plus years. I've been stealing money. And the jury knows he's a scumbag. Yes, I do think people are asking. I do think we are going to hear about side of the road stuff. So, no, Joe J, they had already objected to a lot of this stuff, and he still makes sure. He still makes sure. And the judge even said, I already ruled the financial stuff's going to come in. I already ruled the drug abuse stuff's going to come in. We talked about rehab yesterday. But the state is just being very, very careful, which I can respect and I think is appropriate for the state to do. All right. Then on cross, I thought some really interesting points came out on cross, and I want to play a few of them for you here because I thought it was really interesting. Yes, perfect timing. We hit 199K, so we can pull that off for now. If we get close to 200K, I'll bring it back up and we can watch it some more together later. But for now, let's get to some of the highlights of what happened in court today. We'll just go on 1.25 speed, okay? This is cross-examination.
We were worried that, I mean, he was distraught. He's destroyed and upset all the time and not eating, not sleeping, sometimes not seeming like he was just focused in and even there. And not just me. I mean, his law partners, his family. I talked to his brothers. I talked to his partner several times throughout the month of June and July just about him and what we were worried about may happen or what he may do.
And the reason he was distraught was over the death of Maggie and Paul, right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
and at no point in time, when you're thinking, I'm afraid he might hurt himself, you weren't thinking he had any involvement June, July, during this period of time with the murders of Maggie and Paul.
Yes, sir.
So the whole time, June, July, you did not think he had anything to do with this. He was so distraught about it, right?
He was, your thoughts were with him because he was a grieving husband and father.
Yeah, so my thoughts were with him and his whole family and you know, especially him and Buster.
And you reached out to him as much as you could.
Yes, sir.
Now, there did come a time when you were a little worried about your $192,000 and you asked him to sign this handwritten promissory note.
Yes, sir.
You testified about that. And you had a conversation about how he's going to get you paid, right?
Yes, sir.
And in the conversation.
Well, that conversation about how he was going to get me paid, I think, was prior to that. I don't think we talked about how I was going to get paid when he signed the $192,000. I just simply knew enough to know, or felt like I knew enough of probate law and law that.
This is him trying to explain, like, it wasn't about the money, but, you know, it was kind of about the money as well.
If something happened to him, whether he did it to himself or something else happened to him, and I couldn't make a claim against his estate without that piece of paper. So I don't think we talked about payment or how he might get me paid that day. He had mentioned previously that he was trying to deal with Maggie's estate. He was trying to deal with his father's estate, and he had some property that was on sale.
But he was telling you that he did not have
so
the money.
So he said there he was dealing with Maggie's estate and his father's estate, and we have not heard the AG argue once he was getting anything from Maggie's estate, and we're going to hear more in this cross, I think, that, again, is good for the defense when it comes to that. Because, again, Chris Wilson, a lot of damning things, going to make you hate Alec Murdoch, but not a ton to say that he committed the murders. In fact, he's part of his alibi.
At the time.
Yes, sir.
And the conversation was before the day of the promissory note, which I think is mid-August or something.
August 17th, I think it was.
And that he mentioned that Maggie's estate is tied up. His dad had died. You remember when his dad died?
Very vividly, yes, sir. Very much. And it was Thursday, June the 10th.
June the 10th. It's like 3 days after Maggie and Paul were murdered, right?
Yes, sir.
And that wasn't unexpected, was it? His dad had been seriously ill.
No, sir. I went by to see Mr. Randolph one of those days after June the 7th, but before June the 10th, my wife and I had gone down to see Buster and Alec, or she had come down while I was already there, and we rode over to Alameda to see, mostly see Randolph, but to see Libby too.
And then I guess he died within a day or so of you visiting with him.
So I think it was the next day.
But Alec thought he was going to get some money from his dad's estate that maybe didn't go through probate that would enable him to quickly pay you back.
That's what he said. Yes, sir. I don't think he said anything about it going directly through. He just said, you know, I've got some money that'll be coming to me from my father's estate also.
And, you know, the difference between life insurance, beneficiaries of life insurance policy, the benefits do not go through the estate, do not get tied up in the estate.
Just enough to be dangerous, probably, but yes, sir.
Well, the point is, he never said to you, oh, I have this $1 million policy on Maggie's life. I have a $5 million policy on Maggie's life, or any life insurance that he was expecting to come into as a result of Maggie's death, right?
No, sir, not at all.
And after Maggie died and Paul died, he wasn't out spending lavishly with newfound money, was he?
No, sir, not that I saw.
In fact, you know, he didn't even go to Moselle to stay a single night after Maggie and Paul were murdered. You know that?
I don't know that myself directly, but every time I spoke to him, he was either staying with his brothers or staying with his in-laws. I don't think he ever went to Moselle.
All right. So I think some good stuff for the defense there. Doesn't prove that he didn't commit the murders, but taking away the financial motive that the state is trying to prove that this all happened because he stood to gain something from these murders. And I think that it's a tough sell for the state. I think they're going to continue to try to push it because the judge is letting them get it in. But there are multiple times today as well that it was a pure character assassination using all this stuff to just talk about what a scumbag Alec Murdoch is. It seems like that's pretty easy to do. And it seems like that's what the attorney general's office is doing. The kids grew up together. I didn't know Alec Murdoch played football at South Carolina. That was pretty interesting and cool to find out. He was a great lawyer. His closing was so great. He did a great job, all of this stuff. But your friend for 20 years, and a lot of you have been putting it in the chat, your friend for 20 years, and you didn't know he was on drugs. That's tough, but I think it happens. I think it happens maybe more often than we want to believe. But how did that affect him? And would it cause him to just irrationally do things like brutally murder his children or his child and wife? And I think the defense made kind of a good point here as well. Let's hear what they have to say about 20 years. He was on drugs 20 years. He told you he'd been stealing money for a long time, had these financial problems for a long time. So why does it make any sense that he chooses now to murder two people that seemingly didn't help him at all in the financial problems?
Just faded fully in the entire case. And I think Mr. Waters asked me, you gave the closing argument to the judge. Right?
He did. I mean, we had to spend a lot of time getting ready for trial, even though it wasn't in front of a jury, which sometimes doesn't come with quite as much, quite as many things I have to do.
How meta is this for them to be discussing jury trials, the difference between jury trials and bench trials in front of a judge who makes a decision a few days later? How much more stressful it is doing this in front of a jury while the jury is listening during a jury trial? That's really cool to just like picture. It's like taking down the fourth wall. Is that what they call it? I think it's really interesting.
Even in front of a judge, it takes a lot of work to put a case together. And so we spent a lot of time getting ready for that trial and even working the weekend before it started in Columbia out of a central location there.
And have you tried cases with Alec in the past?
I have.
Tried cases with Alec in front of the juries like this right here?
Yes, sir.
And I don't have to tell you, but you know, doing what we're doing here, it can be very stressful, can it not?
It's very stressful, yes, sir.
Yep.
Long nights. And get up early in the morning.
A lot of hours juggling a lot of things.
And did you ever, were you around him during the stress of trial or cases where he just totally lost it, lost his faculty, just went off on the handle because he was on opioids? Did you ever see anything like that?
No, sir.
He was able to function in high stress situations, correct?
Yes, sir. I mean, sometimes getting Alec to focus on the case and on.
I didn't want to seem like I was taking it out of context, so we'll let him finish the question. But that's really the gist of it is he doesn't fly off the handle, even in some really high stress situations, even when he's on drugs.
What you were trying to get accomplished was difficult, but that was from all the way back in law school. That was from day one. But when he focused, he was extremely able to get it done.
So again, they're getting their points across, but I think this witness was crushing to Alec Murdoch's character. He did say he's a family man, great relationship with Paul, great relationship with Maggie, all that, but just crushing that he would do this and literally chew up and spit out his best friend for money. And they definitely got that across on his direct. We're going to play another part here during the phone calls where he discusses Alec's calm demeanor on the phone, because again, it's exactly what the defense should do, is highlight the fact that he was calm, not seemingly how you'd act if you just butchered your family.
Data that's in evidence says the call was 42 seconds long. You think you talked to him for 2 minutes, or you may have been billed for 2 minutes, but when you got the call, you said, I'm fixing the pump. Can I call you back?
Yeah.
Is that a 2 minute call or is that a 45 second call?
Hey, Bo, how you doing? I'm doing all right. I got my hands in the middle of this. Can I call you back? Yeah, sure. No problem. I mean, probably shorter than 2 minutes. I don't know if that's the phone ringing and the talking.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
Okay. And then, but that was the call. And there was nothing about Alec's demeanor that alarmed you during that conversation, right?
No, sir.
He wasn't breathing heavy, was he?
No, sir.
He didn't sound panicky in any way, did he?
Not panicky, no, sir.
Just a regular conversation with Alec?
All conversations with Alec are a little bit scattered, but no, he didn't sound out of the ordinary.
All right. And then you call him back.
I did.
Sometime around 9:20. What's your Verizon bill say?
9:20 p.m. A phone call from me that lasted 3 minutes.
All right. And if you'll go to page 3082 of Exhibit 60, and if you'll, Doug, pull up the call at 9:20 with Mr. Wilson. You see it? Now, I mean, it really doesn't matter whether the Verizon bill says 2 to 3 minutes. This says 131 seconds, but this is you calling out back, correct?
Yes, sir.
And in that call, he is he got the same demeanor?
Yes, sir.
Not breathing heavy?
No, sir.
Not being frantic in any way?
No, sir.
Just not that I heard. Normal out?
Yes, sir.
And he tells you he just gets to his mom's, and that's how you end the call, right?
So once again, totally normal, totally calm demeanor. Not to say he couldn't fake it, but it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. And I think something the jury should at least consider and think about. Now, will that carry the day? Who the heck knows? And probably not with all of the other negativity, I'll say, surrounding Alec Murdoch, and deservedly so, because he did a lot of bad things in his life. And then on redirect. Oh, I also thought it was interesting. He said his demeanor was always friendly and polite. He never met a stranger. That goes to the, hey, how you doing comment to the emergency services person that was there on site. he was there. He and a bunch of other lawyers said, I don't think you should interact with SLED alone, because they didn't think he was in the right frame of mind. They thought a lawyer should be with him, but they want to be clear. I was just there as a friend, but you need a lawyer there with you. And I thought all that was interesting, because again, they're kind of going to say he flubbed up a little bit in his explanation, or even lied about being at the kennels because he wasn't in the right state of mind. But if you look at all the objective data, it shows this is almost impossible to have occurred how the attorney general has explained that it's occurred, that Alec Murdoch planned this, did this, two weapons, got rid of anything, everything, cleaned up all within 12 minutes or whatever their timeline ends up being. So it was important to get that his state of mind was kind of off. Then on redirect, basically we hear the same line of questioning from the AG. You thought you knew him, but then he confessed things you never knew about him, didn't he? It's like, yes, he did. Confessed things I never knew about him, and I'd known him for 20 or 37 years or something. I can't remember how long he said, but a long time. After lunch break, there was an objection about calling Satterfield's son. And basically just trying to, again, we knew, basically, maybe they are watching the defense team, some of these YouTube breakdowns or recaps or whatever it may be, and listening to people say how sad it was to see this young guy on the stand. Harpulian called him a kid, almost insinuating that he was a minor. And they're like, he's an adult. But it was so sad. And you could just see how vulnerable victims, and I've been telling you guys this, and this is a good picture of it. Vulnerable victims. A lot of you are astute and into crime stuff and into law stuff, and you understand a lot more about your rights than the average person. This poor kid would have believed anything Alec Murdoch said. If you think about the position Alec Murdoch had in his house, it's his mom's boss. His mom had worked for big shot Alec Murdoch for 20 plus years, big shot lawyer, took care of his mom, was going to take care of me. He had it all under control. And I guarantee you the conversations went, whatever you think, you just tell me. And I have so many clients that do that with me. And what did Alec Murdoch do with that? Took absolute advantage and screwed these people over. Judge, of course, lets him testify. Talks about his mom passing, talks about the $505,000, in case you're wondering, just for a little behind the scenes. This is my guess, right? But I've never seen a policy that has a $505,000 limit. It's a $500,000 liability limit, and then either a $5,000 med pay part of the insurance policy or a death benefit or something like that. But they got the whole $505,000. Then they got the $3.8 million. He didn't even know it settled. The articles were coming out, and Murdoch was telling him it's still a tough case. We're still fighting. We're still moving forward. And I heard a lot of people hating on Harpulian for the cross. And I want to watch some of it, and we'll see whether or not I agree with you. But before we get to his cross, I just couldn't help myself, since this is a lawyer show. I had to play Harpulian's, you know, Southern charm, at least that he thinks it is, of him with this objection. And once again, not following the judge's rules when he says thank you when he finally wins an objection. But let's just listen to this part for fun, and then we'll get to the part where he digs in on how much money Satterfield's son got.
He testified. He didn't. Sometime in early June, if he's conceding, the witness said he didn't learn about it until after June 7th, we don't have an argument. He's already testified to that.
Final speaking response. witnesses testified he had a conversation in June. He testified in the spring of 2021 that he became aware of media reports and reached out to him. We've already seen some texts and we have some calls. I'm just following up on the fact that he had repeated communications with the defendant asking him what is the status of my case and was told as we move in time through the murders, oh, everything's fine. I'm still working on it.
Sustained as the leading the witness.
So he said, thank you, Your Honor. And now he's going to apologize for it. And it's still kind of hilarious what he says after this.
Thank you.
And as the leading the witness.
For thanking you. The habit I got in and can't seem to break. I apologize. And by the way, if you ruled against me, I would still say thank you. It's just what I learned to do. I don't know whether it's an old thing or not.
Multiple times today, he's like, I'm old school, so I do something like this, or I did raise the closed captioning. Carla, thank you for the reminder. He's like, I'm old school, so, you know, I do it like this, or sorry, I don't know if I'm just, you know, old school or whatever. And I just thought that was kind of funny that he thanked him, apologized, and then said, I would thank you even if you ruled against me, Your Honor. All right, now let's get to the interesting portion. And this is really interesting, and it's going to point out some things about how life is and how things go for PI lawyers, because it's easy to point the finger when a mistake happens and a light is shined on you like it is to Alec Murdoch. But there are some things I want to break down here together and talk about with you.
So let me ask you a few questions about your mother's death. And I apologize if in any way this back bad memories. I apologize. Y'all filed a lawsuit or made a claim against, I mean, basically Alec told you he would be the defendant. You'd be suing him, right?
Yes.
And it was based on some dogs tripping your mom as she was going down the stairs. Is that right?
That's what they said, yes.
Okay. But the only person that represented dogs tripped your mother going down the stairs was Alec, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
basically what Harpulian's saying there is you don't have a case unless Alec Murdoch testifies and says truthfully what happened. Because he could have just been like, no, your mom tripped over her own 2 feet and fell down the stairs and you wouldn't have a case, which is true, but I don't think it helps him at all in this case. But theoretically, it is true. Deborah, I did not get a trim, just a shampoo. I shampooed it myself.
So without his assertion, I mean, if she fell down the stairs, there'd be no lawsuit, right?
I guess that's
okay, right. I'm sorry, not a lawyer. He would accept my representations if she just fell down the stairs on her own. There would be no one to blame for that. Right.
Repeat the question because I don't understand the question.
That's okay. Strike it. Withdraw.
Kelly, I 100% agree with you. And just that, he's like, I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. Like, pretty simple guy. You know, he just was like, Alex, like, I'll take care of you. He's like, okay. He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't money hungry. He wasn't greedy. He was just like, okay, that seems fair. You know, if you want to do $100,000 a piece, that'd be great. You know, just not even knowing, not even thinking, not being a shrewd businessman or a fraud like Alec Murdoch.
But it's going down a rabbit hole. Don't need to do that. So let me ask you this. During this process, your lawyer, for the record, he told you, was Corey Fleming, right?
Yes.
And that was your lawyer?
Well, that was my lawyer. They were all a team.
They were a team. The person being sued, and yes. Again, you're not sophisticated on this, was part of the team to get you a recovery.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's a guy named Chad Westendorf. He was with a bank, right?
Yes.
And he was actually the PR. He took over his job to make sure y'all got your money, right?
Yes.
Did you ever meet with him?
Yes.
And what did he say?
Like one time, it was just designed to make work for him to be PR.
Right. And did you ever call him and say, what's going on with my case?
No.
Did you ever call Corey Fleming and ask what's going on with my case?
No.
And
so I don't like this because this is blaming him for calling the person he trusts to ask him how the case is going. Total miss by Harpulian here, in my opinion. My clients call me. My friends that hire me call me. My family members that hire me call me. I don't expect them to call anybody else. Even if another lawyer in my office is working on it, I'll say, talk to them about this specific of the case or whatever. But if I tell them something, you better believe it's going to be true. And if they have a concern or an issue, I will fix it myself. This guy's basically like family. At least he thought he was like family to Alec Murdoch, which we're finding out. Maybe that's not such a great thing to be like family or family to Alec Murdoch, but there is nothing wrong with him only talking to Alec Murdoch about this case. So to insinuate otherwise is a poor move by Harpulian.
Let me make sure I understand your testimony. You got some notice or something in the paper, and at some point after June 7th, you had either a phone call or a text or an email with Alec Murdoch asking him what's going on.
Yes.
Now, and again, we see a series of phone calls on June 22nd.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Where y'all were talking about this.
Yes.
But was there anything on June 7th or prior to June 7th where you accused him of anything?
June 7th? No.
Okay. Now, after you became aware of.
So this is the correct and proper line of questioning by Harpulian, in my opinion, if I was a juror on the case. You weren't threatening before June 7th. None of this happened before June 7th. This was not something that was culminating on June 7th. There's no correlation or connection to June 7th in your case, right? Because that's why we're here. I'm seeing people say, we keep hearing about, sorry, I'm trying to keep up with the comments, but we keep hearing about all this financial stuff. It's like, this has nothing to do with June 7th even. Why is this coming in? For us to know what a scumbag Alec Murdoch is, thank you, check the box, keep stacking it up, have another tally mark for somebody he chewed up and spit out. But this has nothing to do with June 7th, has nothing to do with the murders.
Well, we saw just a moment ago a confession of judgment where Alec Murdoch admitted that he owed you $3 million. I get this wrong. There it is. $4,305,000. Is that right?
That's a judgment, yes.
Okay. But you hired a lawyer, Eric Bland, very fine lawyer.
So he looks into the gallery and he says, Eric Bland, very fine lawyer, boss move. He knows Eric Bland. Harpulian knows everybody. He's a big shot. He's a state senator. And because Eric Bland, I don't think is too fond of Dick Harpulian, based on some things I've heard and read Eric Bland say about him. But Eric Bland, fine lawyer. And he points him out in the gallery, seemingly to just be like, okay, that's fine. He wants everybody in that jury to know that Tinsley and Eric Bland and everybody else that has a financial interest in this case is sitting there looking at Alec Murdoch. They are here to watch him burn. He's sitting in the gallery. He's not missing a beat. They all couldn't wait to sit here and watch this happen to Alec Murdoch. Did he commit financial crimes? Maybe. But they're trying to have him punished for something that he didn't do or that the state can't prove or however they want to use it. He wants the jury to know that this lawyer, all these lawyers that are suing Alec Murdoch are sitting in the gallery. This is about money. This isn't about murder. Those are the kind of arguments they can develop with that. But this is a really important line of questioning, okay? He's going to ask him, oh, you actually got more money than was stolen from you, as if that makes it any better that somebody screwed you and took advantage of you. Poor form by Harpulian, but they didn't dig in on something that I thought would have been a really, really interesting argument for the defense.
Eric Bland, very fine lawyer, and he actually sued Mr. Murdoch's firm and some other folks and got you $6.5 million, right?
Yes, I know, not that I'm aware of.
Pardon me?
Not that I'm aware of.
He said, yes, no, not that I'm aware of, and here's what I want you to do. Eric Bland, you see there's a lady in a pink shirt. Eric Bland is sitting to her left. The prosecutor with the yellow tie on, he is, you know, skip the prosecutor behind him, but Eric Bland is the guy sitting in the suit right over his head, basically. There's a bald guy that was, I think, the like grand jury forensic somebody something or other. Not that guy, but right behind him, Eric Bland, full head of hair, blue suit on, right next to the lady in the pink shirt. Watch the lady in the pink shirt and Eric Bland as Mr. Satterfield struggles through some of these questions. The fact that he struggles is nothing against him. What it shows, though, is how sometimes clients, even with really good lawyers that are very communicative and are dotting their I's and crossing their T's, how clients can get confused. It's a confusing process. That's why you need lawyers. But they literally start nodding. I'm going to back it up so you can hear the line of questioning again. They literally start nodding to help him say, no, no, yes, that's correct. That's $6.5 million or whatever. That's correct. Yes. So let's watch that.
The only thing I'm aware of is the judgment.
Right?
Yes. Or no, not that I'm aware of.
Pardon me?
Not that I'm aware of. The only thing I'm aware of is the judgment.
He literally looks back at Eric Bland. Harpulian literally looks back at Eric Bland. And watch Eric Bland's face. He's like,
so I'm aware of the judgment.
So Mr. Bland didn't tell you about the $6.5 million?
Sounds like another lawyer you had. Didn't tell you about the big money judgment you got. But Clearly, Mr. Satterfield is just confused. And again, after he asks that question, watch the gallery. I'm going to back it up again one more time. Watch the gallery.
Yeah.
So Mr. Bland didn't tell you about the $6.5 million?
See?
Yes.
Pink shirt.
Sorry, I just want to make sure.
Watch Bland pink shirt one more time. And Eric Bland. Before he answers yes, big time head nods.
The $6.5 million?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we're not repeating ourselves here.
And so, you can't beat up on a witness like this. He's too sympathetic. He's too much of a good guy. And he's not doing, he's just trying to answer the questions. He's not trying to do anything. But it just shows you that sometimes it can be confusing. And while all these lawyers are going to be like, you did this, blah, 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 sometimes it is confusing, is all I'm saying. Not that that's what happened in Alec Murdoch's case, but Eric Bland could be accused. Any lawyer, myself included, could be accused of that as well, because sometimes clients get confused. That's all I wanted to say with there.
So you actually recovered $6.5 million, which would be a couple million dollars more than you would have gotten had you received the money that Alex took, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you've been made more than whole for that loss.
Yes.
$2 million more than you would have gotten had he not taken your money, right?
Okay.
I mean, you can't even ask these questions without damning your client. So you've been made more than whole, not by Alec, but you've been made more than whole. Actually, I think this one was by Alec. I think they got the money from him, but you've been made more than whole, right? Yeah. From the money that he took from you. It's like, so you're admitting your client's a scumbag and took the money from this poor kid. Just want to make sure. So that I think was interesting. And then somebody said, at what point is the AG, this is from Lauren, crossing into character evidence? Seems like they've gone beyond the financial motive, in my opinion. Yeah, seems like all of it. And especially in this redirect where he's like, this guy took all the money from you, and did he ever give you 1 cent of it back? I think they got some of this money back in the judgment from him. It may have been the law firm. I don't remember. But he's like, did you ever get one penny back from him? And you trusted him, right? Because he was your lawyer and he stole from you. Nothing to do with motive. Nothing to do with murder, nothing even to do with June 7th. Just literally what a scumbag Alec Murdoch questions. That's what it is. It's so obvious, obviously character evidence, in my opinion. Okay, I am going to answer some questions. We're at 192,125. I'm sorry, 199,000. So if we get it up a little bit more, maybe we'll throw this counter back up there later. But let's get to some questions here. Tiffany, I'm disturbed that they didn't ask for OnStar data, but why didn't the defense ask for it? Could it be because they are worried about what it shows? As if all the data that's coming out is good for you as the defense, you probably don't want any more. Jamie, if Alex is found not guilty and new evidence suggests someone else committed the murders, can the state prosecute? Yes, they can. Very difficult to win a case like that. Very unusual that they would even bring charges. They would have to have like a video of the murder or some kind of like no circumstantial case. That's for sure. Emily Outdoors, my thoughts on Tinsley. Actually, let's hold this. I live in a rural area, so it takes a while for first responders to get here. So he called 911. How long did it take them to get there? And wonder what he was doing during that time. I don't know, but while he was on the phone with them, he said he already turned them over and checked for their pulses. So that's the issue with that. Genji Probs, okay, here we go. Daily message to say, I'm working on a chart layering each type of data, steps, calls, parking, etc., so I can see the overlaps. Feel free to send it to me at Tragos Law right here on Instagram or Twitter. John O'Rourke, as a juror, I'm 100% burnout and bored on a bunch of guns and finance theft that have nothing to do with the murder. No pure evidence of the killings. Financial trial and a murder trial, I'm lost as a juror, and we're bored watching it for the second time. That's why I think everybody thinks this trial is so boring, is we've watched all of this already. But that's okay. Trish, is the prosecution required to submit and highlight all the evidence? Example, cloth, Sperry-like shoes. Could these be possibly introduced by the defense? Yes. Prosecution gets to admit anything they want to admit that can help prove their case. The defense can admit anything else or anything that they want to. Terry, Peter, this area is big city type dealers. They watched his house, killed them for money, AM owed them, and they did it via watching to make it look like AM did it, but this is a giant drug dealer kill to punish him for money owed. I mean, it's possible, right? Because he left right around the time the killings occurred. Marjorie Haskin, I never I've never seen witnesses watch other witnesses' testimony that weren't direct family. What is your opinion on that? It all depends on if the rule of sequestration was invoked, and it was not invoked in this case. So every witness, I don't know if the court has rules of who they're not letting in because of media or whatever, but if the rule is not invoked, any witness can sit in there and watch. This happens a lot with expert witnesses, but not usually with lay witnesses, which we have in this case, which to me, you're seeing why. Getting stories straight, responding from other testimony, talking about other witnesses, and maybe doing even more for other witnesses. It's problematic. That's why they created the rule. I don't know why. I think both sides are kind of embracing the show that this is. That's kind of what I think. I think they're both embracing it, and I think they're both ready for it, and I think they both plan to use it to their advantage, at least so they think. EJ, the prosecution has not met the burden. I keep waiting for the smoking gun. Do you think it's possible for them to get beyond a reasonable doubt by next Wednesday? I absolutely think it's possible. I don't know what all they have. I don't know everything about this case. I don't know everything that could possibly come out. They're not there right now to me. Bernadette, is it the worst trial? Oh, it is the worst trial I've seen. Financial crimes don't show motive. This is what I was trying to play when I was looking and talking about all those financial crimes. Sam Marson, Peter, you're Amanda. BC, apologies if you already answered. Why are these witnesses permitted to be in the courtroom prior to their testimony? I watched a lot of trials and I've never seen this. The rule of sequestration has not been invoked. I have invoked it in every trial I've ever done. It's been invoked in every trial I've ever watched, every trial I've second chaired, every trial I was at when I was at the state attorney's office that I watched. So it's unusual, but maybe it's more usual in this jurisdiction. I don't know. Heidi Wislang, Amy, cousin Eddie's lawyer, okay, said on an interview in Surviving the Survivor that she's waiting for bombshell evidence to help the prosecution, guessing Eddie's testimony might not be it. So like waiting for it, meaning she knows it's coming or she's wondering if it exists. Trish, Jim Griffin has been taking the lead lately. Do defense lawyers pay attention to how they are being received via online and in the media proceed accordingly? Highly doubtful. My guess is they picked and split up, divide and conquer who's doing which witnesses. So they just prep for those witnesses and they help each other out. But with this many witnesses and this long of a trial and this many issues, they each had to have their own witnesses beforehand. I don't think they're adapting as the trial goes on and switching like you take. Actually, I should say, thank you, Natalie, for this. I should say this actually has happened where I've just taken witnesses in the middle of trial, usually cross-examination, because I'm just like furiously writing notes. I'm like, I just want to do it and I'll take it. That has happened before. B. Hartling. If he had motive, it wasn't financial. It was people he adored not finding out what he was doing and having it destroy them and their relationships. This makes more sense to me. People say shame and reputation and stuff like that. This actually makes more sense to me as a motive. Kat Yarb, how do you act when you butcher your family? Who the heck knows, right? I have no idea. Maria Garza, Lindsay Clancy, are we going to follow this case? So this will be up to you all. A lot of you have, in fact, messaged me. So what we're going to do is we are going to play a little intro and discuss arraignment and discuss insanity defense in Massachusetts tomorrow at 1:30, which is usually during the lunch break of the Alec Murdaugh trial. So if you are interested in this case and you want to hear my take on it, there will be a video. It will be a premiere, so you can put your comments and questions in the comments. But it'll kind of be an intro to if there's enough interest, then I'll continue following it. John O'Reilly, is there anything anywhere other than AM's own words to support the claim of drug addiction? The same guy who lied over 20 years and lied right after the murders. There are some criminal charges. I think they can prove the drug. I think they actually tracked some personal checks and stuff that he spent on drugs. All right, let's get back to the recap here. Palmetto State bank guy, boring again, stole money from the bank. They just put $400K in his bank account, which is interesting because, so I did think listening to it this time instead of the in-camera proffer was he did get the $400,000 loan in August after June 7th to take care of his liabilities or part of it, his overdraft or whatever it was in that bank. So that is something that the delay actually did help. He was going to get that loan. He gets every loan he wants there, but they weren't even looking into him prior to the murder. So how does that motive work out? But at least they're showing how the delay, the state can show how the delay did at least allow him to get this $400 loan just put into his account like that. Must be nice. He also talked about how they couldn't get collateral on the beach house because Maggie had to sign off on it and she obviously wasn't able to. And then we're going to get to her cross before we get to the argument that was made before cross. So I thought they got a couple really good points out on cross that he had $200 because they made it sound like, oh, he's borrowing all this money and he could never pay it back and he owed $4 million and blah, blah, blah. But I thought they did a really good job and they didn't do this on the proffer. So this was something new. I think it was Griffin that did this cross and he said they had a loan about 200K. I'm going to use some rounded numbers. They had a loan about 200K on the beach house, right? Right. And in 2016, it appraised for 400K, right? Double what they took out on the loan. That's how banks work. If we need to, we can get the collateral from his house. Okay. But it was actually just recently sold, right? And what did it sell for? Just under $1 million. So taking out a $200,000 loan is literally nothing if you have something worth $1 million. But then we get to Moselle, where he had a $700,000 loan taken out and an $800,000 loan secured by Moselle, $1.5 million. But what was the Moselle appraisal? $3.3 million, and it actually sold for more than that, although we didn't get the exact number. So if we take some number under $1 million, let's say $900,000, and we say we take a number right around $3.3 million, and we add them together, we get $4.2 million, which I think is almost exactly what he owed to this bank. I just thought it was interesting. I would not have guessed he had enough collateral to pay off the loans to this bank if he had to do that with the collateral that they secured in return for those loans. So that was interesting to me. He was making payments in some small LLCs. The other partners weren't, whatever, probably because they were fake companies, right? I don't think we have a lot of, you know, trust in what Alec Murdoch is doing business-wise with LLCs. And then on redirect in June of 2021, okay, if you knew, this is question list, if you knew that he was going to lose his license and lose his job and commit fraud, would you have loaned him money? No. Okay, obviously, no. But would you have found, here's a better question, would you have found out all that stuff even if he didn't kill his wife and son? Because you probably were going to find out all that stuff anyways. It only delayed it until August. Then we get to Mark Tinsley. Is it Mark? Mark Tinsley. But before we get there, let's listen to the argument that was had prior to his testimony about something that to me is just so hard to believe actually happened in real life, but it did. So let's go there and listen to it together here.
What did he say?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Something new that has come up, Your Honor. I'm sure Your Honor recalls the testimony of Shelley Smith this Monday. Her testimony was, let's say, somewhat malleable.
Her testimony was somewhat valuable, as we all said when we talked about it, and they agree with. It was valuable.
We discovered late last night that a GoFundMe page was set up for Ms. Smith soliciting donations until the wording was changed during the testimony of the last witness. It read that my mother was caretaker for Alec Murdoch's mom. She recently had to testify against him and goes on to say, I want to reward her for her bravery and honesty. The very first donation.
So that was it. She had to testify against Alec Murdoch, not in the trial, but against him. And it took bravery and honesty or something like that. And the very first donation.
Made on this, I want to reward her for her bravery and honesty. The very first donation made on this GoFundMe page, which was made shortly after it first went up last night, was made by attorney Mark Tinsley, who paid her $1,000, presumably following the description of this in consideration of her testimony.
In consideration of her testimony is a little bit of a stretch. Doesn't necessarily say that it was in consideration of her testimony. Recovery Addicts channel has a full timeline. Okay, that's interesting if anybody wants to check that out. So let's talk about this, okay? Let's make this small. Let's actually just pull this off for a second. Actually, let's pull this off for a second. Marjorie Haskin said, please rant. So that's what we're going to do here just for a second, okay? And it's an interesting concept to me because I think this is what it looks like when people start, and Kelly also wants to hear a rant. This is what happens when people start hate something more than they love something else. And I think that Tinsley seems like a good, shrewd, hard-nosed PI lawyer that fights hard for his clients. But, and he seems like he loves justice, let's say. But he hates Alex Murdoch so much that I think that is trumping justice for him. Because how you can tell that and how you can see that is when we take matters into our own hands and we think, regardless of what the evidence is, regardless of what anybody can prove, regardless of what a jury says, I know the answer. He did this, whether he did it or not, he deserves to go down for it. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he goes down for it. Forget about the rules. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to do what I need to do to keep the pressure on and make sure he goes down for it. And hold on a second, Sean. Okay. So when it comes down to lawyers doing what's right by a code of ethics, everybody here wants to point the finger at Alex Murdoch, talk about what he did wrong, talk about how he screwed all these people, talk about how he didn't care and everything was different for him and he played by a different set of rules. But it feels like all of them are willing to stretch the rules or stretch ethics in order to make sure they can take him down. And I've gotten a lot of comments like this by Diana. This judge is aloof. I can't believe he's letting him make donations from state witnesses. The judge, the other lawyers, the attorney general's office, people are saying are taking it too far. And it's ironic because a guy that has played by different rules, that has stacked the deck in his favor and against anybody else he's gone up against, when it matters most, seems like he's going up against a stacked deck. It seems like everybody is using every ounce of leverage and power and information they have against him, regardless of if it has anything to do with murder. And listen, is this going to be something that's going to get Tinsley disbarred? No way. Is it unethical? Maybe not. But should you, in a trial where you're still going to be a witness, this witness just testified and is still under subpoena and could be called to testify in the defense's case in chief, should you be giving her $1,000 with your name on it, where her daughter just said she had to testify against Alex Murdoch and it took bravery and honesty or something like that? How does that look? What are people going to think about that? Is that the right thing to do? Would you want somebody to do that to you? Regardless of what Alex Murdoch did, fine, whatever. He's a bad guy. But don't turn into a bad guy. Don't turn into doing things that are underhanded just because you really want to take down somebody that's underhanded. We have condemned law enforcement, prosecutors, judges, and lawyers for doing the same thing, for disregarding the rules because they think they've got the guy who did it. And they know it was this guy. So they're going to plant evidence or be too rough on them or beat the crap out of them or do whatever because they don't care because they know this guy's a scumbag and they know this guy did it. We all condemn that in today's day and age. So let's not do it in a more sophisticated or aloof or even funny or sarcastic way. I'm sarcastic. I like jokes. I like funny stuff. I thought it was funny when Tinsley pulled out the order, even though it wasn't really an order granting his thing, but it was funny to be like, oh, maybe you should look at the other papers. I chuckled at that. It was outside the presence of the jury, so no harm, no foul, really. He was showing he knows the file better than somebody else. But I don't think this is funny. And anybody that thinks that Tinsley doesn't think that there was anything wrong with this, kind of like the big hangup for me with Alex Murdoch, if he didn't do this, why did he lie? If Tinsley didn't think there was anything wrong with this, why did he change his name to Anonymous? And why did the AG's office have to go and confirm that it was, in fact, Tinsley who gave her $1,000? And a lot of people sliding into my DMs and tagging me and stuff saying he's helping out somebody in the community that needs it. Okay, fine. He doesn't need to do it on a GoFundMe page, number one. Number two, he doesn't need to publicly do it with his name. Number three, he doesn't need to do it right now. He could have done it before, or he could do it after if she really needs help. One of his friends needs a caretaker or whatever. Help her get that job, whatever it may be. Like, there's a million ways you can do it to help her out, but not this way. This was not done just to help somebody out. And I don't really think I need to explain that to a lot of you. So the judge says, did we even listen to the whole thing? I feel like we didn't even listen to the whole thing. The judge allows it. And, oh, we didn't listen to that part. Let's listen to that part. And then I'll tell you what I think about how it's going to go on cross-examination.
And Your Honor, I have, if you want, printouts of the screenshot showing that. Shortly after Mark Tinsley's name actually appeared as the donor for 1,000, he removed his name and it now appears as anonymous. But I'm told the Attorney General has confirmed to Mr. Tinsley that he admits he did make this payment to the witness in the middle of trial, who is still under subpoena.
And therefore?
Your Honor, and therefore, the defense should move to exclude his testimony. And
on what basis?
We will potentially move to exclude his testimony.
Your Honor, the legal standard here is difficult to find. I cannot, searching Westlaw, find a single case in which a prosecutor has put tries to put to the jury a lawyer who has already testified he has a direct financial interest in the outcome of this case, who is also making monetary payments to prosecution witnesses during the trial. Your Honor, I believe that this is a question of first impression. And because it's a question, I understand that the facts here in this case are disturbing, but because it's a question of first impression, I would respectfully urge the court to keep in mind the aphorism that bad facts make bad law. You know, a prosecutor, to my knowledge, to Westlaw's knowledge, has never before done this.
What's improper about what he did?
About what Mr. Tinsley did?
Yes.
He made a financial payment to a witness in the middle of a trial that he has a financial interest in the outcome of. He has testified. He was under subpoena. She's still under subpoena. He made a $1,000 payment as a reward for her honesty, testifying in a matter that he has testified that he has a direct financial interest in.
That would be good fodder for cross-examination.
Well, Your Honor, I respect the court's ruling.
I'm not going to strike his testimony. It may be good fodder for cross-examination.
And guess what? I think the judge is absolutely right. I don't think you can strike his testimony because of this, especially if the rule of sequestration is not in effect, that he was allowed to listen to her testimony and have a comment or thought about her testimony. So I think the judge was absolutely right. And so a lot of people are thinking, oh, boy, they're going to have a field day cross-examining him on this and making him look biased and making him look like he's doing anything he can to hurt Alec Murdoch. They are going to hammer him here with this. Absolutely, this is going to be great. But how's this going to go? Okay, and I'll just say, if I was on the stand, I'm a personal injury lawyer, and somebody, and I did, let's just say I did this, and somebody said, isn't it true you gave $1,000 to Shelly Smith? Yes, it is true. Now, if he stops right there, then maybe they can argue about it in closing. But if he asks another question and he said, you know, she's a witness in this case, that's totally improper, don't you think? And I would say, no, I thought she did a great job. And I think it's so unfair that she had to be in the aftermath of this Tasmanian devil. He chewed her out or chewed her up and spit her out just like he did to Mr. Satterfield, just like he did to my client, just like he did to this person, just like he did to that person, just like he did to the $4.2 million he stole from all these clients. Everybody who trusted him, including Shelly Smith, he chewed her up and spit her out with his lies, with his deceit, with his fraud. And then look what he did to his own family. So no. I didn't have a problem with anything that I did. I thought it was totally appropriate because it takes a lot of bravery and honesty to come up here and tell the truth against somebody who has used his power for evil his entire life. That's the kind of answer I would give. So I don't think it'd be a good idea to really press hard on this in cross-examination, except to maybe ask the question, isn't it true that Shelly Smith, somebody set up a GoFundMe account and you were the first person to give $1,000? Isn't that true? Yes or no? That might be all I ask, and then I'll make my arguments in closing, because I don't want to give a PI lawyer, a trial lawyer, an opportunity to throw it in my face because a jury doesn't know the rules. They don't know if there's anything wrong with that. They don't know what it means to still be under subpoena. So I wouldn't want to risk it. I am going to take a second here because there's some LawTube people in here being nice. Rob, I did already put your super chat up on the screen, and he said, don't forget my other one. I did put it up there. I didn't read it out and, you know, tell people to subscribe and like and all that again because I did that earlier, but I appreciate you coming in. Here is the counter. We're really close. I mean, there's 11,000 people in here, which is, I mean, I don't think we've ever had more than like 8,000 people in here. So there are more people watching this than are probably the difference in number of subscribers than we've ever had another one. And we also have Legal Vices, who I heard through the grapevine and through my chat was streaming this trial and got so bored that he stopped streaming it, which is pretty funny. And I mean, listening to the same financial testimony twice is pretty brutal. So I don't think I could do it either. And I always say how much gumption and just like how much just pure endurance it takes to stream a trial from beginning to end. But I think he's still commenting on it and stuff. So he's, if he's still doing videos, go check his out as well. So thank you, Rob and Legal Vices and anybody else that may be in here that I didn't follow, because in all honesty, it's hard for me to follow the chat and play the videos and the timeline and do all this stuff. We're riding. Let's say if we get to 200K tonight, I'm giving away some memberships in addition to all the other stuff we're going to do later on the 200K celebration stream. Do I have any more witnesses left to go through? We talked about the cross. Oh, Tinsley. Let's do Tinsley real quick here. Emily Outdoors, my thoughts on Tinsley. While he probably dislikes AM deeply, he stands to gain nothing from a potential murder conviction. This isn't his lawsuit, and he's not paying his witness. Bad form, yes. I disagree at this point. Murdoch is screwed, and I think to just have him go in prison is good, and he'll just get in line for his assets. Whether he wins or loses this case does not affect anything. This is just the worst possible scenario for Alec Murdoch, and that's what I think Tinsley wants for him. Just a guess. Just one man's guess. All right. So Tinsley talked about his background, talked about the boat case, talked about how a lot of people thought it was a friendly lawsuit and that they were boys and he was going to help Alec Murdoch out like everybody else had throughout Alec Murdoch's life. Talked about how he only had 500K and how I actually thought the state was looking for Tinsley to go a little deeper, and Tinsley was actually a little reserved. And he was like, hey, you know, he didn't have insurance for it. He's like, why? The attorney general wanted him to say, because of the Satterfield matter, the umbrella didn't re-up him. So Tinsley was, I thought, being pretty honest on the stand, no real issues. He even said, I was at a fundraiser. It may have been for Harputlian over there or for Lindsey Graham, which I think was funny that he was just like, yeah, I go to fundraisers for Harputlian. He made a couple of interesting little comments that they didn't dig into, but I thought he was insinuating that law enforcement covered up stuff in the boat case, which we've heard accusations of before, and almost intimating maybe that's what they did here too, covering stuff up to try to help Alec Murdoch. Maybe this wasn't the first time they did a sloppy investigation that ended up helping Alec Murdoch out. There was a lot of pushback, talked about cobbling together $1 million. He offered a payment plan. He offered him to sign over Moselle or whatever. Alec refused to do that. They talked about whether filing in Beaufort or Hampton. It was kind of confusing, but in at least one of the jurisdictions, Alec thought there's no way he could ever lose because he's such a big shot there and everybody loves him. So that was coming into play as to which one he was going to decide. And they had all this phone evidence. I'm losing my voice in the middle of the stream. All this phone evidence about Paul drinking from, I think, his girlfriend's phone with Alec. Alec knew that Buster gave him his duplicate ID. That's how they were going to connect him. That's how they were going to get punitive damages. They were asking for punitive damage. They hadn't gotten it yet. And so on and so forth. But then, after the witnesses were done for the day, we heard of some more shenanigans coming from the courtroom. And that was that Murdoch's family reportedly was passing things to him. And they had to be moved back a few rows, and potentially Buster flicked off, shot the bird to Tinsley, which to me is horrible. Why are we doing stuff like this? I think they're both kind of asking for it. And again, like I said, this circus that is this trial, that I don't know why some people want it to be that way, but they're just diving in full force and continuing with the shenanigans, and neither side is kind of saying no at this point. So it's poor form on both sides. You can kind of understand the hatred that's going on right now between people in the courtroom. All right. We are over an hour already. So now is when we will pull this down. It doesn't look like we're going to hit 200 tonight. But now I'm going to hit absolutely as many rapid fire super chat questions as I possibly can. Hopefully my voice holds up. Bernadette, financial crimes don't seem to be linking to murders. I agree. This is a murder trial for his wife and son. It's all over the place. Harpoolian was very disrespectful to the Satterfield lad. Very cold. What's her name? Turned into a case within a case. We as jurors get the money point they wanted to make. Move on and prove your actual case. I think the defense is going to hammer on how much time they spent on the financial crimes. Shannon, unpopular opinion, but couldn't the Snapchat video have been taken earlier but not uploaded until then? I didn't get a clear picture as to when it was taken or uploaded, so I don't know if there's been actual hard testimony on that. I could have missed it, but I don't know. Jen. Oh, although there was the FaceTime call at that certain time, though. There was the FaceTime call, and he said, I'm going to take a video of the dog's tail. So I do think it was confirmed to be right around then. Jen, haven't proven guilt, but playing devil's advocate, AM's demeanor means nothing. He was calm when he was stealing from friends, family, and clients, too. You're right. Well, it seems like he was always fidgety, but... Colin Moeller, the cross of the kid, while maybe unpalatable, was necessary. Can't leave the jury with the thought that Satterfield boys ultimately got nothing. Correct, but I don't know if I would be like, you even got more. I would just be like, you were made whole, right? John O'Rourke, Peloton life, love to hurt. So I am a total fraud. This says Century and 100 on it, which this is the shirt they sent my wife when she rode 100 Peloton rides. I think I've done two. But they sent her a large. So that's why I wear it. But you get it. You get it, John. Get it. Laura, his entire demeanor changes when Tinsley takes the stand. He begins to get cocky. Ego comes out and you can see it in his face. Anyone else see this? I honestly don't know which his you're talking about, but I think there's a lot of egos in this courtroom. John, did Tony get an extra $2 million friendly confirmation? I don't know. I think it went to them, but it could have been for costs or punitive damages or additional attorney's fees. I don't know. Katie, hey, just wanted to say I appreciate your live so much. The different perspective is so refreshing. Tampa gang. Yes, Katie. Thank you. Amanda. Somebody went in my pool room. Amanda, Diane, I want AM to rot for what he did to his family. Pure rage. But if I'm a juror, I'm still saying not guilty at this point. The state hasn't convinced me. Shannon Bryant, what's the chances this was a target to AM gone wrong, a revenge kill because of all the money he stole? Seems like the chances are pretty good. Boricua, I watched the trial all day and literally had to wait and watch your stream to make sense of it all. Love your view on it. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Tori, if AM is convicted after all of these financial crimes have been allowed in, I think AM will win an appeal. This is just a soap opera. I hate seeing someone found guilty for being a dirtbag and not facts. Ray Hat, he should go to jail for life just for doing what he did to the innocent looking guy. He is going to jail for life for his financial crimes. Absolutely. Bernadette, what's the story with Buster and AM's sister being moved back in the courtroom? And if anything else happens, are they out? My guess is they did get a warning. I already mentioned this, passing stuff to him and potentially shooting the bird to Tinsley. Dr. Quinn, the defense wants to show how bad AM was, that anyone could have killed his family in retaliation, not himself. It's a strategy, in my opinion. I think they would have preferred it not to come in, but since it does come in, any good lawyer is going to try to figure out what angle might be better for you. Monica, it's starting to feel like the state brought all these financial crimes in under the guise of motive, but really the prejudice of the jury against AM thoughts. Yeah, that's kind of what I was worried about the whole time. And I think you're seeing it by watching it. There's a fly right here. Did I get it? No. Renee P, Eric Bland with the attorney with the second best hair on YouTube. He's got a great head of hair. You're right. Great head of hair. Ann Liebman, if you steal money from this young man who lived in a trailer with his brother with severe learning disabilities and autism, that is murder to me. I didn't know all that about them, but it's brutal. It's not murder, but it's brutal and you deserve to go to prison for a long time. Lita, the behavior panel YouTube analyzed AM questioning in the law enforcement in the car. His actions were abnormal for someone who found family murdered. They said guilty. Okay. Be kind. I think your words only a really master sociopath. I keep going back and forth, but your words may be an answer. Evidence is so confusing. Thanks much. Thank you. Be kind. I don't really know if it's an answer, but David, what is your opinion on the prosecution not submitting the clothes that he wore earlier that day? Did they not have it? I think they don't have it. I think they have to not have it. But I don't know that answer. And again, I think the jury's going to be like, you pointed out that he's wearing different clothes. Where are the clothes? LM, why isn't anyone putting testimony timeline together? They are. And somebody just said here that they're stacking it. I think it was Gingy problems. Maybe she'll send it to me. Star, please watch behavioral panel breakdown. First video of AM in the police car. Chase said he will be using this clip in future training. Interesting. It's somebody sent it to me. I haven't had time to watch it yet. It's really hard for me to even keep up with listening to each day of trial. And on the weekends, I don't want to listen to anything about Alec Murdoch, if I'm being honest. John O'Rourke, man dime, rumors, prosecution will rest this week. Thoughts? I think no way. No way. They've got Tinsley. I mean, I hope they have more on the murder. That's what I'm hoping. I hope they rest the financial stuff. Pat Turnbow, theory. AM jumped in the lake nearby and hid clothes and weapons in a noodle hole where he had previously noodled a catfish in 12 minutes and also got changed and got in his car. Stina G, my motive theory. He was just solving a problem. They were costing him money he didn't have. It doesn't have to make sense to us, but it makes sense. Lita, prosecution's case is so out of sequential order. I agree. And I think they're getting lost with all of this, like proffered evidence and stuff. Debbie, Peter, what do you think about somebody else went inside the pool house? Peter, what do you think about the GoFundMe for Miss Shelley? Yeah, we dug into that. It's just bad form. Wait till the trial's over if you really want to do that. But I just think it looks horrible. Right after she testifies, she was such a lovable witness. I don't love it. Mama Pink, I just want that $5 overdraft fee, shaking my head, right? I mean, especially that much money. It's crazy. Melissa Phillips, I was bothered by the judge's lack of response about it, as if that's okay. Yeah, like, what's the problem? It's like, maybe look at Tinsley and be like, bro, come on. Judges have reprimanded lawyers in the gallery for much less, I will tell you. He should have been like, Tinsley, don't do stuff like that, man. Deborah B, the love pillows make the chairs. Well, thank you. I think they're just up for the Valentine season, but we'll see. Ray Hat, even though I think he probably did it, but it wouldn't be unfair to say he is guilty based on what we, but it would be unfair to say he was guilty based on what we've heard so far. I agree. Penny M Farhat, check out the mob cruise on Star timeline. Okay. Ange, Peter, do you think this case will have other firms having staff meetings? I got to be honest, good firms really dig into this stuff. They have checks and balances. Multiple people are involved. They check and balance the trust account. We have training on this. It's really important. I mean, I hope the answer is yes. I hope anybody that feels like they're a little sloppy needs to tighten up. EJ, I thought he said malleable, not valuable. Maybe. Deborah B, is this Alex reaping what he has sown? Some could say. Some could say. Leanne G, Peter, I thought they said Shelley's testimony was malleable, not valuable. I'm sorry. Okay, I must have misheard that because a lot of you said malleable on that. Just wondering if I heard that wrong. Thanks for the recap. I zoned out a bunch. If they said malleable, also right. If they said valuable, I think they're also right because I think it was valuable. Janet, I watched his venomous testimony this morning and commented how the hatred spews out of him. It seems like he has been jealous of Alex for years. I don't know about jealous, but he definitely hates him. Mary, I think there are no objections because everybody there knows the rules for South Carolina justice. This is another world and it looks weird to us, but completely normal in South Carolina's 14th district. Could be right. First trial I've ever watched in South Carolina's 14th district. Courtney Michelle, as a public accountant CPA, we need to be independent in fact and appearance. It's bananas that lawyers don't follow the same rules and mentality. We should. That's what I'm saying. This is so bad for lawyers. A lot of this just makes a lot of different lawyers' actions in this trial is a bad look for us, and I don't like it. Lita, your thoughts on family of AM passing notes to him? I was thrown out of court for waving at someone. Absolutely, it can happen. They did move him back a row. It seems like they were reprimanded. We'll see. Doris, Peter, I believe they would have found out that AM stole from this poor kid when they looked into his financial status regarding the boat lawsuit. I don't know. There were already like reports coming out then. Like people were finding out about this. Claire, you should be a lawyer. You are so good. Well, Claire, funny you should say that, because people just keep going in and out. My wife and her in-laws are here, so they're in the pool house and they keep going in and out. And we have an alarm there because we have kids and a pool and whatever. I am a lawyer, an actual practicing trial lawyer, which is why I do the recaps at night. Check out my website, tragoslaw.com, if you want to see that. My kid's personal Uber driver. And Tinsley has all night to think about his response. I can't wait for Cross. They won't be able to stop themselves. I agree. Tina, you go, Peter. Whoop. Love your passion. Thank you. And I am very passionate about it. Let's hit some new members here while I take give my voice a break. And okay. John said you can't really hear the thing because it keeps making a really loud alert, but I guess this mic is just picking up my voice, which is good. So sorry, I keep mentioning it. Thank you to all the new members. I'm going to give my voice a break and take a sip. Elizabeth Higgins, Chiefs or Eagles? I'm going to ride with the Chiefs. I thought they've been the best team all year. And Patty Mahomes is going to have a couple weeks to heal his ankle up. Thank you, Lynn. Leah, for me, it minimized both of their testimonies. Prior, I thought they were the strongest. Okay. Virginia, her GoFundMe is almost at $20,000 now. Sheesh, people are just getting on the bandwagon. Rebecca, we need to hit 200,000 before Friday night frenzy. Yes. And I'm going to try to not go live at the same exact time as Rob for you guys that like to watch both. It just, my wife's going to be out of town out tomorrow. So I have to put my kids, I'm going to have my kids by myself. So it might go at the same time. I don't know. Maybe I'll try to do a short one. Like that's ever possible. I'm an hour and a half tonight. Andrea, this trial is so interesting to watch. Do you think all the evidence about him being shady will sway the jury? Yes, I do, Andrea. I do. Thank you, Mr. Russello or Miss Russello. Thank you, Kathy. Azam, I love your freshly showered hair, Pete. Thanks so much for the nightly recap. You make me wake up early on the weekends. I learn a lot. You're amazing. My idol. Congrats in advance for 200K. Thank you so much. And it's not the same if you're ever not in the chat. Rob said, get some rest. Yeah, my voice is starting to go in case you can't hear. Deborah Pippin, thank you so much. Law and Lumber, love the grind, but take care, rest your voice. Yeah, I know. I got to. I'm pushing it a little hard these last couple weeks, especially when I talk nonstop all day. Marie Schwab, Greeks have great hair. Thank you. Ayana, after seeing your timeline last night, I'm leaning more and more towards an accomplice being involved. Do you think it's plausible? Absolutely. I think it's more than plausible. I think it's very reasonable. Thank you, Wolfie's Angel. You're making me crazy. Do they know what AM spent all the stolen money on? No, he spent a lot of it on drugs. And thank you for this one, you're making me crazy. And Naomi Johnson, thanks for the super sticker. Tracy Leonard, did you also see on Cross of the bank guy today? Griffin almost said when AM killed his wife and son. Can you look at it? I will look again, Tracy. Not going to be able to look tonight, unfortunately, but I will try to look at that. DC Primetime, AM definitely saw a reasonable doubt. Plan B enables plan A. He absolutely is a loving psychopath who murders people to advance his strategy, in my view. Falcon Weaver, welcome. P-Hop, save your voice for tomorrow and 200K. Yeah, we're close. We're at 199,400. Azam, Peter, I just hope your 200K celebration is not going to be at night your time. I won't be able to join at that time except for Thursday or Friday night. Let me see what I can do, okay? Because I don't want it to interfere with the trial stuff either. So maybe I'll do like a daytime live and talk through that. Candy G, local opinion of family is double-edged sword. Afraid of family equals acquittal. Tired of family not being held accountable is guilty. Mimi, Peter, please watch FIT's news interview with Lindsay Edwards. If they bring her in, this trial is over. She's a South Carolina former sex lawyer. Interesting. Law and Lumber, we demand a counter update before you sign off. All right, it's up here for my last few questions. The Papa Smurf, the OG. Hello from Manhattan. Alex Murdaugh is a Muppet. Great character you have going at lawyer. You know, Alex knows he did it. He deserves karma. Thank you, Mary Cook. John, you need a hot tea. Do it. Yes, I will do that tonight for sure. Debbie, watch the Mob Crew timeline. It is short. Okay. DM it to me on Instagram or Twitter at Tragos Law. Caitlin, so it is true that the attorneys are going to say my cousin killed PM and MN while AM claims he paid cousin to fake suicide. Only in this case, like only in this case, honestly. Thank you, Katrina. Wolfie's Angel, I don't get it. Why aren't the investigators held accountable? Well, the state right now is trying to act like they did do a good job so they can get a conviction. Your voice is going to sound like Forge, Mr. Gunn, River said. I don't remember his being that raspy. Karen G, this is for having a pool alarm. Great parenting. God bless you and your family. You got to. And the fence. Lou Holt is a new member. Mary Cook, who was the beneficiary of Maggie's will? I don't know, but I'm not going to speculate unless the attorney general tells me that's one of the motives for the murder. Rich Cat Ranch, planning to announce your 200K on the roundup tomorrow. Sure hope so. Ladybug 999, what money interest is Alex getting convicted? In Alex getting convicted, harder to collect, not making money. It's already hard to collect. If he gets convicted, if he gets put in jail, if he is a convicted felon, he's never going to get out again. They can probably go after more assets. They're selling stuff off, as we've heard. Patsy Herman, thank you. Googie Grant, where is the hidden girlfriend? Is that what we were talking about in that other tweet? Like I said, you guys know a lot more about the background information than I do. Comedy Air, is it possible they are getting money on record for future financial trial? Maybe, but these are all their witnesses, so I don't think they needed to get it on record, and a lot of these people have been deposed. Terry, I think the prosecution is showing that this could be a revenge murder against AM. I think that's how the defense is going to spin it, that's for sure. Veronica, thanks for joining. We are planning a cool members only video in February, and River will be there as well. Albanian Anissa, done and done. Just subscribe from four other accounts. Now that's dedication right there. Julie's Heart, spend time with your children. We appreciate you. I know you guys are the best. You're super gracious. If I'm late, if I can't do it, if I have to push or change the time, you guys are awesome. So don't ever think that you're overburdening me. I really like doing it. I have fun talking about these cases and hanging out with you guys and getting your perspective. So don't ever think that it's like I'm begrudgingly coming on here and doing this. Madeline is a new member. Daria, theory, two revenge killers. AM stumbles on them. MNP killed, threatened to kill Buster if he speaks. He changes clothes. Behavior panel detect AM lies. Well, I don't think we need body language to know he lies. I think he definitely lies about multiple things. I think his lawyers even admitted it. Thank you, Melanie. And thank you, Madeline. All right, we are calling it. We are going to go out here with Andrea's Super Chat. 199, almost 500, a big jump tonight. That was fun. Maybe by tomorrow's live, we'll hit 200. We've got a Clancy update coming tomorrow. I already recorded it, so I'm not going to have the voice issue. I'll try to rest up my voice during the day as much as I can tomorrow so we can go live tomorrow night. A lot of you get really concerned when my voice sounds like this, and I appreciate that. But we are done for tonight. I appreciate all of you. Hit that like button on the way out and subscribe if you haven't already. You guys are the best. I'm out of here. I'm going to go drink some tea. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lawyer You Know podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, which I hope you did, here's what to do next. Give it a share, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, and make sure you subscribe to the show in the listening app of your choice. Follow me on all social media platforms at Tragos Law and join the Lawyer You Know YouTube channel and community where you can ask me questions live on all of these cases. If you've got an idea for a specific topic or you have a personal legal question on an injury case, whether it's a car accident, trip and fall, wrongful death, or catastrophic injury case, please email me at lawyeryouknow@gmail.com. All of these links I just mentioned are included in the show notes section of this episode. So until next time, I'm Peter Tragos.